Blog Talk Radio.
Discover your new favorite grocery store today, because a brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market is now open near you. You'll find low prices you can trust every day on the groceries your family needs most, like fresh produce, quality meats, and more. Plus, save on prescriptions in our pharmacy. Walmart Neighborhood Market makes it convenient to get everything on your grocery list.
Come meet your friendly new neighbors today at the brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market at Barker Cypress Road and Cypress North Houston in Cypress.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Blog Talk Radio.
Given up. Well, if you have, this is not the season to do that. And the Lord, He sees us, and He knows that we're tired, and He knows that we need a refreshing. He's on His way, and we know that God's got our back. If you don't know, let me enlighten you.
Welcome our guest today, which is Jordan Johnson and Marquise Sneed. And Marquise, well, you've been with us before, so I want to thank you for joining us today. The topic today is God moving the boundaries. I always said moving past our boundaries, but God moving the boundaries. And I'd like to also, before I get started, I'd like to acknowledge one of our hosts, Ja'Kalyn Carr, who is a host on NHISG, who is actually being nominated for 4 STEL Awards this upcoming year. And so if you have the opportunity to vote, please be sure and do that. Try to find her on Facebook. She is a public figure, incredible vocalist, and vote. She's an incredible worshiper. So I'll be sure and do that. Today, we don't have a live studio audience. We're actually here. We're going to talk about God moving the boundaries for our lives to be used for His glory. And so, Jordan, I want to welcome you. Now, you might notice I don't know my last name, but actually Jordan is my middle daughter. And so she's joining me today. And she actually was one of the ones that prompted the show title, because she was blessed by a word that she heard today during service. And so when we talk about moving the boundaries, God moving the boundaries in our lives, we're actually talking about us being reminded of how powerful we really are in God, and that we miss that a lot of times. And what were you going to share, Jordan?
Just something that I caught from the word today, just that everyone just underestimates how much their prayer can actually do.
Right.
You shared a few things that I'll let you get to that when, you know, you get to it, but people underestimate how much their prayer can actually do. They just think, well, you know, I'll pray for the little things because I trust them for the little things, but people don't know that I can also trust them for the bigger things.
Right.
They
right.
stay in this little box, that if I just stay in this little box and just pray for what's in this box, I'll be fine. People never think to go outside of that box, push the boundaries on the box and see, hey, I can pray for more than just little things in my life. And that really spoke to me today.
Right.
I think what Jordan is getting at is just the level of expectation that we have
right.
for God, and really for ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, through our life, we go through certain things, and the experiences teaches us that we can do something or we cannot do something.
Right.
And so when something huge comes into play, something we have to do or something we have to step outside of ourselves or something we expect God to do,
right.
it's like, well, you know, that might be a little bit too much. You know, it might be a little bit outside of what I believe or what I believe I can do myself mm-hmm. or what God can do. And, yeah, I think today with you talking about Joshua
mm-hmm.
and how he spoke for the sun to stand still, for the moon to stay where you are.
Right.
That's
right.
Like, that's profound. I mean, that's like you said before today, people who are in the Word,
uh-huh.
people who live through our history are no different than us.
Right.
And we can do those same things.
A lot of times when we look at the Bible, we think that these people are like superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear about, you know, when we hear about Peter walking on water, you think about that there was this special anointing that permitted him to be able to do it.
Right.
And really all it was faith. Mm-hmm. When you hear about Jesus feeding the multitude, you know, with the fish and the loaves. And if you don't know that story, you know, it's like, you know, two fish and five loaves of bread. And he breaks it open and he feeds 5,000 people.
Yeah.
And we think, you know, okay, well, that could not happen for me. Like, you know, that would never happen. You know, I prayed. But I've been in situations to where literally I knew it was God that expanded it mm-hmm. and multiplied it right while I was right there. One of the times I can think about was we had made a commitment to our community that we were going to give away 500 backpacks. I remember that weekend I walked around on the side of that building and I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be maybe 100 people, mm-hmm. you know, with like, you know, three or four, and we're going to have to figure out what to do with the rest of the backpack.
Yeah.
Shoot, I looked around on the side of the building and it was this big throng of people, parents, like moms and dads with like five kids and four kids. And the line was like, it went from the front of our building all the way back. It swung around through our parking lot, went back around on the other side of the parking lot, creating like this big U. Then it swung out into the street. And I remember my heart just falling to the ground because I didn't want to make a promise and say, you know what, we're going to give away 500 backpacks, and then you have over 500 people, because they're not going to say, oh, it was more of us than it was backpacks.
Mm.
They're going to say, you didn't have enough backpacks.
Right.
And so I run back around to the front of the building and caught a friend of mine, Pastor Maggie, Pastor
yeah.
Pete, you know,
mm.
and I look at her, and, you know, she thinks I'm joking. I'm serious. I go, I need for you to pray for the fish and the loaves. Like right now, like we need a miracle. We need for these backpacks to multiply. Now, I know that there were well over 500 people out there. But when the end of the time was spent in us giving out backpacks, not only have we serviced other people, but we still had some backpacks to give over to another church. Now, you would say that okay, well, maybe you didn't count them. You were looking. No. We had people in the parking lot counting the adults and the children so that we would know. We had over 300 adults in the parking lot, and many of them had like four children.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, and you do the math,
yeah,
all right?
You're bringing one child.
Right, you're not bringing it right. So if you had 300 out there and then each one of them brought one, then that would be 400, right? So the parents wouldn't. So each of those, that would be, okay, you have 300. Then you would have an even 300 backpacks, rather. No. Like, we're looking at it, and parents are like, no, I have five. I have six. I'm like, what? What? Are you kidding me? And so I remember us coming in and just looking at all the backpacks, and then, I mean, asking Pastor Maggie and Pastor Pete, saying, you know what, I need you to pray that. And God, now, you know, I know there are a lot of people, it's hard for them to wrap their minds around that, or wrap their minds around it, but it happens. We serve a supernatural God that will do supernatural things. Now, when I prefaced that statement of saying that we serve people that worship the devil don't have a problem with expecting a supernatural move. Why is it that we that serve the Lord can't expect a supernatural move? I mean, go in, do incantations and do all kinds of stuff and expect the spell or whatever they cast
yeah.
that is going to come to pass, you know, mm-hmm. that they can invoke the power of Satan and change and shift. And I know it's true that people believe that because, you know, we have encountered people here in this area that practice witchcraft.
Yeah.
I actually found something in the church that someone had placed in here trying to stop service, trying to overtake the building. So the enemy, he works, and they believe it. They believe it. And but we're like over here, he's saying, you know, you can walk on water. We're like going, are you kidding me? I'm not getting out of this boat. He says that you can speak to the mountain. Be ye moved, be ye cast into the sea. And you know, we're like going, we're praying like this kind of little flimsy prayer, like really not even expecting God to do it. And it's time for us to know who we are, to boldly step up and say, you know what, I trust God, not just to keep my lights on, not just for gas money, not just, you know, but I trust God to move in a supernatural way for me. When we look at that passage about when she's talking about, you know, this guy prayed. We were talking about Joshua praying. And literally that, or was that you?
Mm-hmm.
One of you. Anyway, it says that, you know, what he did was he just commanded it because he knew that he was operating under the authority which God had given him. Imagine what would happen in our lives and the lives of others that we operated in the authority that God had given us.
Understanding the power that's inside of us at
right.
the end of the day.
Come on.
I think you have to wake up every single day and realize that when something comes up in your life, you have to focus in on who you
right.
have living
right.
and dwelling inside of you.
Right.
I think we'd say with why people they trust the devil or they're in the world
right.
for something like big and grand to happen.
Right.
Well, that's because in the world, stuff happens like temporarily or it happens so quickly
right.
for you. It's just like, oh, okay. But with God, you know, sometimes it comes where you got to be patient, you got to be diligent on
right.
certain things.
Right.
And so you have to, you know, walking in obedience where in the world is just, hey, here you go. Here's the glitz and the glamour or certain things that you desire.
Right.
Where with God, you have to go into it with a whole different mindset.
A lot of us, we question whether we are good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem is. That's the big gap in between. And I don't know who we're talking to that's out there, but I know that it's intended for you to be listening to the show today because the Lord wants to show you that, one, you have power, two, that you deserve the blessing, that you deserve to operate differently than where you have been operating at a much higher level. But because of past circumstances, you feel like you're not entitled to it. We're going to take a small break right quick and we're going to step away and we'll be right back in a few minutes. You have been listening to Refresh. Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite. Like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that would fall to the earth and then Superman would come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it the person down the street you know so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, to reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
This is the last take for the night. Understand it's kind of late. And I gotta get home to my son. Cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him. I need to breathe him. That's my baby. Don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love them all. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed. Woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes. Yes, my grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed, yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. My son, father doing is absolute. I'm so blessed, blessed, blessed. Yeah, yeah. And I know what I know.
the word of God is true. And if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
I'd like to welcome you back to Refresh, and I am Regina Johnson, the host of the show. We normally have a live studio audience, but today we don't. We're just kind of having an intimate talk about God moving the boundaries, just pressing the boundaries back for us. When we talk about pressing the boundaries back, God to do greater than he's ever done before. Before I want to name my, you can call 657-383-0309 now. And also, I also want to remind you that you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, on Twitter at Journey Strong, and Instagram at TFH Triumphant. Be sure and do that so you can keep up what's going on with me in ministry, as well as on radio. Our guests today are Jordan Johnson and Mark Lucie, and thank you again. If you've not been listening again, we're talking about God moving the boundaries. When we talk about God moving the boundaries, we're talking about living and responding to a supernatural life, going beyond where I have ever gone before. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Joshua, how he prayed in battle, and the Lord, because it was God. It says that God, he responded to Joshua's request. And he told the sun and the moon to stand still so that he could win the battle. And when you read that in the passage in Joshua, it's, I think it's 10, 12 through 14, something like that.
Yep.
And it says that he was the first person that God ever responded to like that. Or he gave a command and God responded to him clearly. And it says, and clearly you could see that God was with his people. He was with his people. My grandmother, and I know you've heard me probably quote this many times before, my grandmother used to say, if God is for you, then who, let me back it up. She did not say, if God is for you. She said, if God is for you,
there you go.
If God is for you, who can be against you? And so he was saying, you know, if God is for you, then who can be against you? And when I would hear her saying that, I would think like it was just kind of just this little slang, you know, or just she was telling me something because I didn't know that was scripture. But really scripturally, that's what it's saying. It's saying, you know, if God is for you, what, who could ever be against you? But it's deeper than that. If God is for me, the very maker of the of the universe, if he is on my side, if he is my equipper, if he is the one that is giving me all power, and we're talking about not just some, you know, statue or something. We're talking about a God that has all power,
yeah.
All power. That he is omnipotent. That means that he can do whatever he needs to do, whatever he wants to get it, get the job done. And we have that same type of power operating on the inside of us. You know, I want to ask you a question. I can just throw this out to both of you.
I think personally it's just, well, because I'll speak out for personal thing. It's just hard to, you know, one thing is hard to wrap up your mind around is to say, like, God is for me. And, you know, you hear that thrown around all the time, okay, yeah, God is for me, God is for me, God is for me. But, like, you have to truly, you know, sit and think about the God who created the world, created mankind itself, is on my side. Then why am I, you know, why am I scared of this? Why can I not ask for this? And it's hard to wrap your mind around because everyone tries to put God in, like, a little – they try to understand God, and you can't. And I feel like that's where everyone goes wrong. They try to understand him and put him in this – well, you know,
this is how man operates, right?
So this is how
God
operates.
Right.
And then I feel like once you cut that thinking off, then you can finally, you know, not understand God, but you can see there's no boundaries on God.
Yeah.
You can't put boundaries on him because there are none. He breaks the boundaries.
Right.
I think it goes all back to what Jordan was talking about. I think you said it too, but that feeling unworthy type feeling.
Isn't that a tool the enemy really uses?
It really is. And I was just telling you, you know, while we on break, I had a conversation with a guy, And he, you know, he's talking about God, and he says, yes, I say, hey, you know, God loves you. He's like, somebody has to love me.
Wow.
But it's like that feeling of unworthiness. And even if you understand, I mean, even if you walk with God, it's just like that. Is he really detailed?
He is.
You know, he is concerned. He does.
It's hard for people to get that because one's that concerned about you.
That's what it is.
You know, it's like not every detail. Yeah. You know, I'm listening, but not to every detail.
Right.
I mean, really, every detail.
Are you sure he's worried about you know, what's going on at work? Or are you sure he's worried about, I have this desire, God, and are you sure? You know,
right. Are my dreams your dreams?
Right, right.
Are you really for me like that, you know? And, yes.
I mean, it goes back to even, he knows the numbers of hairs on your head.
Right.
Like, so how much concern is that? I don't know anyone, like, you have 300.
Right.
You know, there's no one you can say, I know the amount of hair. Like that, if you don't understand that level of concern, then that's just, you know,
right.
Hard.
Then it just goes back to the, if you want to know how truly God is concerned about you, you want to really know, just go back to Jesus. Just go back to the cross.
Right.
I mean, that's the epitome of you are worth it. He is concerned with you, you know.
I think that start talking about the cross,
mm-hmm.
that people start looking at it and they think that Jesus went to the cross as God.
Mm-hmm.
But that hung on the cross, that submitted itself to him to die for mankind, that was the man's side of
mm-hmm.
God. I mean, like a man in the garden making a decision to die. That I'm going to allow my life, and it's allowed because he had
mm-hmm.
the power not to. I'm going to allow my life to be taken in the perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that mankind can survive. And so, and what that shows us, if we really see ourselves like Christ, but see, again, our heads are so messed up that to even put myself on that is sacrilegious.
Yeah.
To put myself on that has to be blasphemous. It just has to be. But in actuality, you know, movement, you know, we're all about the power of God when it comes down to laying hands, full recovery and speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor and running around and hold those stands. But it's more to it. We're talking about God. See, the speaking in tongues is the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's evidence that it's something more powerful than yourself working in you. We look at it like that, and we should operate like that. I would say, I am coming up against some great opposition, like from the enemy.
Yeah.
It's like he's working trying to convince me.
You don't want people to know.
No. And he's not on you. Even when you're the facilitator, that greater is he that is within you. We memorize scriptures, but are you really hearing what you are quoting? Are you hearing really? I mean, are you fully understanding what your dodge is? When you say, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world, right there, that's an open confession that there is something inside of me that is more powerful than anything that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say it, but do we really get it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk around with a greater is he that is within me attitude, I'm telling you, walk in the room, talking about setting atmospheres, you walk into the room, you go in the boardroom with a greater is he that is within me, because you enter in there with the Holy Spirit in you, who brings you to all understanding of everything, the power of the most creative being in the universe is dwelling within you, there you would be unstoppable. You would be unstoppable.
Yeah.
But we don't get it, and we have to get it. As a matter of fact, you know, there are some of you that are listening right now, and you don't understand that really you were created to be unstoppable. That you were created to have no limits. And so today I want to tell you, take the limits off. Take the limits off of yourself. Take the limits off of God. You were created to live a limitless, right, life. I mean, like really, I mean, I know that not every man is going to be, you know, not every man is going to be rich. And not every man is going to be whole. But the reason why they won't live in those places is because they can't see themselves. God sees them. God has like this tremendous plan for us to be greater overcomers, problem solvers. Mm-hmm. We have the power to resolve issues in other people's lives with the presence of the Lord dwelling on the inside of us. I promise you, it's something far greater than just speaking in tongues. I'm not trying to take anything away from just speaking in tongues and moving like that, because I am definitely one that does, and I pray in the spirit and all those things. But I'm telling you, it's something greater. We limit God when we just narrow down having the baptism of the Holy Spirit to just speaking in tongues. He came that we might have power, not just, you know, like a little something, but power. I mean, I love it when you go back through the Word and you can find things. I mean, a supernatural God. What kind of anointing rests on an individual that when children run out and make fun of him, a bear comes out and mauls him to death? I mean, really? Or a God, you know, that we the same God that we serve, we have the power to speak to the dead and watch them rise. Now, I know that we have that power, but we are afraid to operate it in many times. I remember a dear friend of mine died in a train accident, and I promise you, the whole night, and it wasn't because I was grieving that evening. It was like, just go up there, go to the funeral home, mm-hmm. go to the funeral home and lay hands. Now, somebody listening would say, that's crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Well, I'm telling you, this is a true story. There was a woman who had a son who died in the penal system. They contacted her. He was in the morgue there at the penal system. And this woman is in the town that we are in right now, went there. Her son he's on the slab. She goes in and she said, not my child. This is not his destiny. And she begins to command life into this cat, and he comes back to life. That's crazy. You want to clap all by yourself, right?
Yeah, I want to clap.
I mean, right here in this town. Right here. I'm not making this up. Right here in this town. It was like on the Trinity River, the movie that's coming out right now, which is not too far from us, mm-hmm. that pastor that died, Minutes in heaven or something like that. That happened not from where we live. That happened on the Trinity River. You know, the old, he was coming, it was a pastor coming from, and I'm not trying to give away the movie, but, you know, he's coming from like a pastor's meeting, and he leaves and it's foggy, like dead, like been dead. Like they put the plastic over him. And the Lord spoke to another pastor that was coming, and he stopped. And they're working on everybody, you know, that's alive, you know. And this guy is dead. I mean, and you know, they don't just look at him and go, oh, you're dead. No. Like, there are people that check and all of that, you know. And this guy is dead. And every bone is shattered in his body. Shattered. He is, like, dead. Was dead, I know. I don't know the full story in the movie, but I know the sort of the testimony of the pastor, the other pastor. The man had been dead for about an hour by the time he got there. And so he asked the policeman, could he pray for him? They had him covered up because his body was so badly mangled. As a matter of fact, his arm was crushed at a piece of bone in his arm, flew off and went into the Trinity River. I'm telling you, it's, man, okay, we got to stop. But anyway, it broke off and went into the Trinity River. So he's just a crushed. I got to stop for just 1 second, take a break, and then we'll pick it right back up here. You're listening to Refresh. I know it's weird. That's going up.
I know. Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth, and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is it the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
I'd like to welcome you back to Refresh. This is Regina Johnson. I am the host. And our guest today is Jordan Johnson and Mark Wiese. If you've not been listening, you've been missing a great show. Topic today is God moving the boundaries. And we're actually talking about expecting a supernatural God to move supernaturally through us. Not him moving for us, but us being able to move as he moves. And it happens. It actually happens. We were just talking about a pastor that doesn't live too far from here. Earlier, we were talking about a lady that in our area, and her son was pronounced dead in prison. And she went up to his body or however that goes, and she just said, no, this is not the destiny for my child. And that, and she spoke life into him, and he's living today. Mm-hmm. He's back living today. He's out of a correctional facility, and he's living today. But we were talking about the pastor that's actually in the movie. I think it's called 90 Minutes in Heaven. That actually happened not too far from where we live. And I heard the testimony on the side of the pastor who prayed for the one that was actually died. And when he got to him, he had been dead already for like an hour. And so he's there and he's praying with him. And he is just believing that God is in this and that God will raise this man. And, you know, he doesn't really know, but he feels completely prompted by the Holy Spirit. And so he boldly goes, nobody goes and prays person unless you believe that God is a he is a resurrecting God. He began to sing a worship song, and the man that was dead began to sing with him and came back to life. And so if you've not seen that movie, I'm going to just give it a little pitch. You know, maybe you want to check it out, because it's time for us to start believing in God. The God that we serve, he's a prayer-answering God, but he's omnipresent, but he's omnipotent, which means if he's omnipresent, he's everywhere at one time, so I don't ever have to wait until he shows up. Right. Where, like in the Bible, you see where Jesus wasn't there when Lazarus died, and they had to wait until he came. We are in a time to where the presence of the Lord, it is encamped about us, the presence of the Holy Spirit, he dwells within us, and so not only is he with us, and we have power to overcome anything that would come against us. We should look to be able to do the things that we saw done in the Bible. You were talking about earlier about Joshua, and we shared today in the Word where he spoke to the sun and the moon and commanded them to stand still, and they stood still for 24 hours. When we speak those things like that, we combat doubt. We wonder, as we're saying these bold supernatural statements, we're combating past the doubt. Know that the same was, then we began to see miracles, signs, and wonders. I truly believe that. I remember a lady came here, and she had a torn meniscus and a torn discus and ACL. And was to have surgery and was in the brace and all of that. And I tell you what, the power of God moved on that lady. And I mean, he healed her supernaturally right there. Yes.
Yeah, that reminds me of my friend. He went to church here. I think, you know, I talk about football player for Oak Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
He tore his ACL. And then they said, well, you're going to need to get surgery. You're going to get, and he just said, he's like, no. He's like, I'm not. He's like, I don't want to get surgery. I don't want to be on crutches. Like, I'm believing that my leg will be healed.
Wow.
And that next week, he was walking around. His leg was healed. His ACL was actually torn in half.
Wow. Wow.
And he technically wasn't even supposed to be walking. And he technically wasn't supposed to be walking. He just believed. And I was like, even I was like, get on crutches, man. Like, you know, you tore your ACL in half.
Right.
He's like, no. He's like, I will. He's like, I will not go to the surgery. He's like, I will not be on crutches. He's
wow.
like, worshiping God. Never had the surgery. Never had
wow.
to go on crutches.
Did that happen here?
Mm-hmm.
No way. God healed him here.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome.
That similar situation happened to a friend of mine in college.
Wow.
I actually wasn't there, but this guy was telling me about it. How he went to church and he got prayed for, and he had like a, I want to say, hamstring or groin injury.
Right.
Heavy inflammation in his groin, and somebody had laid hands on him and prayed for him.
Wow.
And told him to try it out. He started running around the room, was completely healed. Thing was, he completely, after that situation, he completely kind of removed himself from God or from the church. So I think, you know, sometimes
why?
When it was
you think
just,
it freaked him out?
Yeah, it freaked him out. You know, so sometimes when. Sometimes when you step outside that comfort zone,
right.
you know, when something big happens for
right.
you, and, you know, it's there.
I think people feel like, okay, the Lord healed me now to preach the gospel. Now I got to give up everything.
Right.
I got to go to the mission field.
I think that's
like
what
tomorrow.
Was.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy. God's not expecting you to do anything that you're not called to do. He's not expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people, they end up in that place. But we don't have to be in that place. We can just trust God. We can trust him. We can trust him. I don't know who we're talking to today, but you need a miracle from God. And I know that sounds like kind of corny or hinky or whatever. You know, you need a miracle from God. But you know what? You do. You need a miracle from God. You need a miracle to work out things in your marriage. You need a miracle. I don't know who it is, but I can really see kind of clearly it's a mother. And it's a situation with one of the kids. And the Lord is going to tell you, he's going to step in. You need to elevate your faith and trust God. You have done all that you can do. But God is saying, I will step in and I will fix us a seed in the spirit. And that's kind of probably a much for some people. But God does move like this. There is someone and you're struggling with an addiction. And I know that's very general, like most people are. But this is very specific. And you got to know that I'm talking to you. Right now, you're listening to the radio show, and you have on like a plaid shirt, and it's like plaid and not plaid and red. I thought it was plaid and red, but it's not. It's plaid and like the plaids with the greens and the blacks and the white in it. And so I want, and the Lord is giving me that because he wants you to know specifically that he is talking to you and that he is your deliverer and that he will set you free. There's also, there's a young man. And at first I'm thinking that I'm saying this because I know somebody by this name, but the Lord says, no, I'm not talking about a female. I'm talking about a male by the name of Micah. And that Micah, I want you to know, you've been feeling really broken here lately. And the Lord says that he's getting ready to empty out all of those broken places. As a matter of fact, you've gone through some abusive things. And I'm trying to see it real clearly, but like I can't, I mean, he's not really showing me that, but you've gone through some abusive places that have broken you and it's caused you to enter into some things that's not something that you would desire to do in your lifestyle. And the Lord says, if you'll just extend yourself back out to him, that he will supernaturally deliver you out of the hand of the fowler. He will bring you back. I want you to understand, Micah, that the Lord, he loves you. I see you, I do, and God is, actually, I can even put description to your face, you're like a fair-complected African-American male, you kind of have not like an afro, but your hair is kind of raised a little bit, just curly, though, kind of, wow, okay, and so, anyway, I want you to know that God, he's got you. He's got you. Your living situation is kind of rough, he's got you. He's got you. He's got you. Go ahead.
I'll just say, Joshua, I think I shared this with you one time when I was on the show,
mm-hmm.
but when stepping outside of those boundaries, even
mm-hmm.
with yourself and even with God,
mm-hmm.
I think one of my favorite chapters, and you're actually having us remember it, you know, chapter one with Joshua,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord is keep telling, he's reminding Joshua to be strong and be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he's saying that is because I truly believe Joshua was nervous.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, he was nervous.
Because it started to go, Moses, my servant, is dead. Like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I know he is.
Yeah, go ahead and rise up. So
right.
So you have this man who's, for 40 years, he was in this position to where he wasn't, you know, the lead guy.
Right.
And now he's getting ready to walk into this new place where he has to lead and where he has to do some mighty and powerful things. And
right.
People are going to look for him to be the example.
Right.
And so when you... And I believe that's what God is ready to take pretty much anyone, right?
Man, yeah.
And so you have to be able to be strong, be courageous. The reason why Joshua was chosen was because he was capable.
Come on.
He was capable of holding that position. He was capable of being a leader, being an example. And so you have to approach it like that, being strong and being courageous. That's not just for yourself, but also
right.
being strong and being courageous and allowing God
right.
to be what you need them to be.
Wow.
So you got to step outside the box and allow, you have to take God outside of the box as well.
Take him out.
Yeah.
You know, that was powerful what you just said. You know, the reason why he was the one was because God knew that he was capable.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we don't even feel like we're capable, but God has already deemed it. So he's looking at us going, you know what? You got the goods.
Right.
We're going, I don't have the goods. I don't have the goods. It's like, yeah, you got the goods.
That like brings me back to Moses. Moses was the main one who was like, I can't do that.
Right.
I have a speech impediment. There's no way
right.
I can do. But God looked past that and was like, no, it is you.
Right.
He saw and he knew that Moses was capable of but Moses was just like, no, not me. And then everyone sees what Moses is like. We don't have to tell what Moses did. Everyone knows what
right.
Moses' story
right.
was. And then, you know, people look at themselves and be like, no, they see you just on the outside.
Right.
And they said that's where the boundaries come from. They just look on the outside and they're like, I can't, you know.
And not only just boundaries from the outside of them, they look at where they came from.
It's big boundaries.
Right.
Like, I came from here. There's no way.
No way. Uh-uh. No one else. There's no template.
More times than not, they look at other people's perception of them.
They
look at themselves through other people's eyes.
Other people's eyes. That was something else to the Lord. So he said, you need to look at you need to look at life through the lens, through my lens. You need to look at it through my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it, and I don't want to just keep saying it over again, like, I mean, when you look at your life through God's eyes, your life becomes unstoppable. Your life becomes unstoppable. I keep saying that over and over again. It sounds like I'm trying to sell the book, but it's the truth. You live, and that's what really prompted the book, was the Lord, he said, you know what? Unstoppable you are unstoppable. And I'm like going, no, yeah, you are. You were created to live an unstoppable life. An unstoppable life. Yes.
I think the only reason why people look at themselves and they have boundaries is because they're like, well, they see boundaries because they place them there. God never placed boundaries
on
your life.
That's right.
People, they're like, well, all these boundaries, like, who said that there were boundaries?
Right.
Who put these boundaries there except for yourself?
Right.
And I feel like people place their own boundaries and they live by them. And they say, well, these are the boundaries God put. God didn't place boundaries on your life.
No.
God has never put in. That's, see where God.
But see, people do that.
Mm-hmm.
People put boundaries on your life. So then we try to live by the boundaries in which others have placed on us. Like, if I've never experienced anything great, and then you start stepping out of this place to where you're expecting something greater
mm-hmm.
to show up in your life, I'll try to convince you not to experience the greater
right.
because I've never experienced the greater.
I'm saying that just goes back to what you're saying. You need to look through God because in God never placed boundaries on your life.
Mm-hmm.
God has no boundaries. You keep letting people put boundaries on your life. Don't put boundaries on your life. There's no boundaries. You're supposed to be unstoppable.
Right.
That's how you're created.
Right.
You have to walk in it and live by it. And once, you know, you're able to make that connection, well, wow,
right.
I have no boundaries. I can do, you know, what the people in the Bible do. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's when you truly become unstoppable.
Right.
And it becomes like us doing that. It's like us doing it here in the earth, like in regular everyday life things. It's like, I'm going to take a couple minutes and answer. Just, we have a couple of our engineers here in the studio want to ask a couple questions, but what is that movie that Will Smith was in where, Pursuit of Happiness.
Love it.
I do too. When you look at that, you see this man who just refused to give up. That refused to give up was that unstoppable part of us. And then what happened was he found favor, and the favor was God.
Mm-hmm.
God was the one that kept on opening up those doors. But when he kept showing up, God was already putting something in place. Somebody said, what about everybody else in the room? There was one that tapped into his unstoppableness. Mm-hmm. Can I coin that?
Yeah, and what it was, he believed.
Right.
Know, and he believed that he was somebody.
Right.
I actually have that quote on my whiteboard in my classroom.
Uh-huh.
When he's talking to his son, and he's kind of like, just how you were saying, if I haven't experienced nothing, then you can't experience it.
Right.
So he's talking to his son about, you know, I wasn't that good at basketball.
Right.
Won't be that good because I wasn't good. And then his son is like, just kind of down, you know, about it. And he says, hey, you know, at the end of that whole quote, he says, if you want something, go get it.
Period. If it's going to bring glory to God, God's not throwing up any roadblocks.
Right.
What did you want to ask, Josh?
I have a question, Emily.
Sure.
So my statement, I wanted to add something to what you guys were talking about. You were saying that were like flaws or obstacles with Joshua, even though that was with him, he was still able to pray to God and God responded.
Mm-hmm.
Or with Moses, like you said, he wasn't the greatest speaker, but he was still used by God.
Right.
I also wanted to add that, you know, God answered the prayers of Joshua even with a rebellious people.
Yes.
They were still not all the 100%, you know, sold out. And yet God still moved on behalf of Joshua in his prayers, not just for Joshua, but everybody.
Come on.
With him.
Right.
And, I mean, that's powerful. That's, you know. That's for somebody out there that may think that, yeah, I know somebody that is on point.
Right.
They are sold out to God. And
right.
I'm kind of on the edges, you know, you don't have to be afraid that God is going to not, you know, move on your behalf because, you know.
Because you're flawed?
Yeah, because you're flawed.
Because you have issues?
Yeah.
You can go through the Bible and everybody in there that God moved for had an issue. I mean, I'm telling you, Peter is like, I mean, he makes my life make sense. I'm telling you, you can mess it up. I'm telling you, and telling God and promising God, you're not going to mess it up this time, and you're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that, and you did it all. And that, I'm telling you, and it's me. If I don't know about anybody else that served God, but I'm telling Peter is definitely, that was definitely me. Oh, you think about the woman at the well. You know, he didn't go seeking after the woman. You know, the clean woman.
Right.
He goes, oh, where is the clean woman that I can talk to? No. First of all, I've gone to a town where everybody is messed up right here. And so, you know, I'm here at this place. And so he seeks out the woman at the well. Or when you go back and you look at, not only would you look at like David, but even when you look at Peter and even like there were areas and stuff, even where you would see it like in John, or all the disciples had their stuff, but really Peter. But we can go from even the very first book, Adam and Eve, And so, but it didn't, it might have disqualified them to stand in the garden in that season.
Sure.
But it doesn't, it didn't disqualify them from God still blessing them. Go ahead. You had one, Tiffany?
I actually just had an event that happened earlier this week where I received a Facebook message, and my friend, who I hadn't spoken to with in a long time, she actually asked me, you know, hey, I'm going through something right now. Can you pray for me? And I was like, oh, well, what's going on? And when she texted me, she started texting me, and she really wouldn't give me any details.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, well, I'll just call you. But then we never got to a prayer because really it was just a venting thing that she wanted to do, venting of her past, wanted to stay in her past. And so I was really more or less like, you know, if you really want to pray, then we can pray, but don't stay where you are because you're keeping yourself in a box. If you don't get out of it, then you're not going to move forward.
Right.
So that's
right.
Really just what I wanted to, like, say from getting from you guys when you guys were talking earlier was don't keep yourself locked up,
right,
but move forward and
right,
move past your past.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you feel like that's like one of the biggest tricks of the enemy, though?
Yeah,
I do. He wants us to stay. He puts people in our path to remind us of our past,
mm-hmm,
so that I won't even feel like I qualify for my present.
Yes.
Kryptonite, right?
Mm-hmm.
The book, Unstoppable You. I keep throwing it out there. You really need to get the book. You can get it on Lulu.com, or you can purchase it on Barnes & Noble. But it is really a good book. And we talk about kryptonite, and kryptonite is actually that thing, that person that is in your life that always messes up your destiny, your new place. It's the little pieces of your past that fall into your present that stop you from what it is that God is intending to do in your life. And I know we can all probably identify kryptonite, really our worst piece of kryptonite ourselves, our minds and our thoughts and the way that we reason through things. It's like we always want to hold on to the past, and God is saying, you know what, I'm calling you forward to so much more. We're getting ready to wrap it up today, but you know what, I want to tell you that, you know, if you missed the show today, you can still tune in to the recording on blogtalkradio.com, /NHISG, Sports Media Network, and you'll be able to just kind of catch up with us if you're just now tuning in. But I want to tell you that God has called you to live unstoppable lives. He has moved back the boundaries. What do you mean when you say that? And I'm going to go into like master mode. So what do you mean when you say that, Pastor Regina? What I am saying is that God has moved the boundaries for you. It didn't just happen in the Bible. If Peter walked on the water, you can walk on the water. If the Lord, he created miracles of healing, of you know, when we think about blind Bartimaeus, you know, and he healed him of blindness. He can do that today. You can do that today. You can lay hands on the blind, and they shall recover their sight. You can lay your hands on stopped ears and speak it, and ears will be unstopped. I'm not saying that it just happens for me, or just that it's supposed to happen for the pastors or people that walk in faith, but you have the power. Those of you that serve God, Jehovah God, Jesus, his son, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, I know for a fact that he is waiting for you to plug into him so that you can accomplish his will here in the earth for him. We're triune beings meant to live powerfully. And so it's time for us to get off the sidelines of life and jump in. Can I just say this? I felt this right when I said that there's someone you're going for, like a really, I saw like this building with like a lot of glass. It just kind of popped in my head. And if you're wondering what's happening, I'm operating in a word of knowledge. And so I saw this building had a lot of glass, and like going into like business building. And you are going tomorrow for a interview. And I want you to know to go in there, not representing you, but I don't mean going in preaching a sermon. I mean going with the confidence that God is for you. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? Mm-hmm. The favor of the Lord is with you. And would you do me a favor? Would you give them like would you send something out like on Facebook or something towards me, Regina, and let me know that it did work out, because I know that it is. I saw it in the spirit. I also see a favor that is coming towards you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's almost like it's coming towards you like almost like a train. I mean, like you've not found the favor that you've been looking for, but it's like the favor of God is getting ready to overtake your life in some business. Like you're doing some business deals and it's about to overtake you. You have been listening to Refresh, and I am your host, Regina Johnson. Be sure and tune in with me every Sunday, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. We normally have a live audience as well as a live listening audience, but be sure and join me next Sunday at 6 p.m. Again, you have been listening to Refresh, and I am Regina Johnson. Can we clap? All right, can we clap?
The word of God is true. And if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up, because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Discover your new favorite grocery store today, because a brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market is now open near you. You'll find low prices you can trust every day on the groceries your family needs most, like fresh produce, quality meats, and more. Plus, save on prescriptions in our pharmacy. Walmart Neighborhood Market makes it convenient to get everything on your grocery list.
Come meet your friendly new neighbors today at the brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market at Barker Cypress Road and Cypress North Houston in Cypress.
Save money, live better, Walmart.